You hear a lot about the general state of American infrastructure. Public leaders and politicians tend to point to transportation. They show us the reports on aging bridges and roadways in need of overhaul, but transportation infrastructure is not the only stuff aging. Don't forget all those water and sewer pipes and related facilities. Our next guests certainly don't want us to forget. They're part of something called the Value of Water Coalition, running a campaign this week called Imagine a Day Without Water. George Hawkins is the CEO and general manager of the District of Columbia Water and Sewer Authority called DC Water. Hi, George.
Greetings from the East Coast.
Good to have you here today. Mark Jockers is with us as well. He's the government and public affairs manager at Clean Water Services. Hi, Mark.
Hi there, Jeff.
Tell us a bit first about what Clean Water Services is.
So, Jeff, Clean Water Services, we're a water resource management utility serving Washington County, Oregon. So we're just west of Portland. We have about 500,000 customers, and we operate the wastewater collection and treatment system here, cleaning about 60 million gallons of water a day, as well as managing flow in the Tualatin River for water quality and fish habitat improvements, and as well as drainage and stormwater management issues here for about 12 cities in the western Portland area.
Including Hillsborough, I'm thinking then, right?
In Hillsborough, that's where I am.
Okay, all right, there we go, Washington County. So that's one of the three most populated counties in Oregon, so it's a busy system for sure. So, George, tell us about the Value of Water Coalition and who that brings together.
Sure. The Value of Water Coalition is a diverse group of water agencies, businesses, and policy organizations. We're all united behind the idea that water utilities, in many respects, have been so successful that most people, when the water comes out the tap every moment, every minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, clean and ready to go, and then goes down the drain once we've used it in any way, we don't think about where it comes from or where it goes, and the massive systems that go into delivering that essential resource. And the challenge that we face, if customers don't know who we are and what we do, is the investments that are needed, because our systems are old. I know roads and bridges are old, and that's certainly worthy of attention. The median age, so half of our pipes are older than this, for water mains and sewer lines in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, is 79 years. We have water and sewer mains that were put in before the Civil War, still in operation. And that's a characteristic that at different levels is true across the country, and we're trying to raise the visibility and importance of this essential service to our customers, because we know how important it is to them, and we want to deliver that service well into the future.
If you've got pipes in the ground since before the Civil War, what are they made from?
Most of those are cast iron, and some of the sewers were beautifully built, brick arch sewers in the older parts of the city. So, age by itself doesn't indicate that it's going to have a problem, although obviously the older the pipe, the more likely you have a problem with corrosion or other challenges. But a lot of this work was done beautifully, but it was done at a time of a generation ago. And so most of our customers have been used to paying the price to operate the system as opposed to build it, because it was built so long ago. That price has come due, and now we have to reinvest in the system, rebuild, restructure, and improve our services. And that's investment that our customers are not used to, because they really don't think about it. We've done it well enough that most people don't think where the water comes from or where it goes, and that's what the Value of Water Coalition is seeking to highlight with the people, to the people we serve.
It sounds like we're being prepped for the possibility of having to pay larger water bills to make sure that we can have the water still coming, because the system needs to be replaced.
That's certainly true in Washington. We've been raising rates to cover both replacing older infrastructure to improve and increase the cleaning, how much we clean the water. We're also doing some really fascinating investments. We don't call wastewater waste anymore. It's enriched water to us, because we can turn it into a resource. Clean Water Services there in Oregon, which is very highly regarded across the nation, has projects just like that. Our industry is changing very fast. It's innovative and creative. We're doing a lot of services to the people we provide this water for every single day. But you're right, it does cost money to improve and to update, and that's a cost that many of our customers haven't thought about much before.
Let me give our guests a chance, our visitors a chance to get in on the discussion again with us. George Hawkins is the CEO and general manager of the D.C. Water, the District of Columbia Water and Sewer Authority. Mark Jockers comes from Washington County, Oregon, where he's the government and public affairs manager at Clean Water Services. You can join our discussion about water infrastructure, water and sewer infrastructure, 800-838-3760 by phone around the region, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Mark, can I take a wild guess that you have a different set of issues with Washington County, because your system is probably a whole lot newer given all the suburban growth in that county?
That is very true, Jeff. We do not have any system that's pre-Civil War, that's for sure. But we do have systems in Forest Grove and Sherwood and Hillsboro, some of the older communities that are 75 years old. Some of them are even wood pipes that have been put in place. But the pressures we really feel are related to kind of expanding, replacing, and upgrading kind of the aging infrastructure. I think we have a lot of things here in Washington County that you see similar there in Southern Oregon with population pressures. There's increased state and federal pollution control requirements that we have to comply with both here in Oregon and throughout the country. And we need to make those investments. I think George makes a very good point. We have, you know, generations before us made significant investments in this infrastructure, in the water pipes and the sewer pipes that provide us with clean water and clean our water before they take it back to the river. And it's time for the next generational investment. One of the projects I work on very closely up here is a dam project that was built by the federal government in the 1970s, and it was a tremendous investment that has served our community very well with drinking water, with water to restore flows for fish and wildlife habitats. But it's 40 years old. It needs to be upgraded to meet seismic standards, and it's going to take a significant investment, a partnership both between our local ratepayers here in Washington County and the federal government and farmers that use that. And we have to be ready to make that investment to ensure kind of the economic health of this region as well as the health of the river itself.
I was ready for somebody to say there are still wood pipes out there, but I thought for sure it would be George and not you, Mark.
Yeah, well, as we know here in Oregon, we have lots of wood, so they were cutting down those trees for a lot of different reasons, including making sewer pipes. So
between the members of the Value of Water Coalition, I mean, is there a number that somebody's working with that indicates the total value of improvements that are needed at this moment in American water and sewer systems?
This is George, and you hear a variety of estimates, and all of them are incredibly high. I've heard a number as high as $1 trillion over 20 years. Certainly, it's hundreds of billions of dollars in D.C. water alone. And this is for our metropolitan service area, which covers Washington, D.C., and then suburbs around it in Montgomery County and in Virginia and Maryland. Our 10-year capital program is about $4 billion by itself. So it's a tremendous need, and the press that there has been about finding water on Mars is significant, because what we all have to remember is that water is the only essential element to all life forms on this planet as we know it, and the importance of delivering clean water to every person, to every job, because every job requires water services, and then once we have used it, taking it back and cleaning it. It's the biggest recycling program in any place where we exist, which is everywhere. Is getting dated and has to be improved and updated, and now is the time. Mark is exactly right. This is the generation that needs to step up, but it's a price they're not used to paying. So if we're not visible and they don't know what we do, it's going to be a challenge. I don't think anybody wants to pay more money for a service if they don't know why it matters to them, and that's our job to present that case to the people we serve.
You know, in the cities that we cover, we certainly have seen a fair amount of upheaval about, you know, well, we need to raise your water bills to pay for improvements to the system, and the water bills tend to go up sharply. So is there an effort to get some federal legislation, federal grants to help offset some of the cost of the new infrastructure?
You know, I would. This is Mark here. Absolutely. I mean, that is something we advocate for, both in terms of continued support for municipal bonds and the tax-exempt status of those that help us build this infrastructure. There are some funding programs out there. I think increasingly utilities are also trying to find other ways that we can do things smarter. And when I think of Southern Oregon, I think of the city of Medford and the efforts that the wastewater treatment utility there has decided to, instead of building chillers to reduce the temperature of the water of what they release back to the river there, they're in partnership with the Freshwater Trust to do water quality trading to restore riparian habitat. And we've done that here in Washington County, too. Are there smarter, more effective ways that we can really get ecological uplift and we can restore waterways and protect water quality by partnering with nature? by using natural treatment systems which are much less energy intensive, by planting trees to restore shade instead of chilling water with these energy guzzling chillers. As George said, are there resources that we can mine from the wastewater that comes to our treatment facilities? We do that right now. We mine a slow-release fertilizer that then we sell on the market. Is there a way that we can broaden the base of people that are investing in these resources? We have to talk about their buried treasures. Nobody thinks about them, and we've got to raise awareness of it. But then it's also incumbent upon all of our communities to look at, what are other ways that we can fund this? Years ago, we used to be able to look to the federal government. In the 70s, there was a Clean Water Act grants. Those don't really exist anymore. There is some coming online a little bit here in Oregon, too, with a water resources development account that is funding. I think the legislature just approved about $55 million for planning and feasibility study and investment in water reuse and storage and projects. And that we need to broaden that base, though.
We are talking about the updating and upgrading of water and sewer infrastructure across the country. The folks at the Value of Water Coalition are asking us to imagine a day without water this week. On the line with us, Mark Jockers, you just heard, from Washington County, where he's the Government and Public Affairs Manager at Clean Water Services. George Hawkins, also on the line, is the CEO and General Manager of D.C. Water, the District of Columbia Water and Sewer Authority. So we got both coasts and two Washingtons represented. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Wendell in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with George and Mark.
Yeah, hi. Glad to be with you. I have a question about the way to fund the upgrading of our water systems and any other public systems. All economists agree that these public services have the effect of increasing land values. They don't increase the value of improvements on land, but they increase the value of land. And the suggestion has been around for a long time is, why not assess land value to pay for these services rather than imposing the cost on people who don't own land? It's actually an economic injustice to make people who don't own land pay for services and then make them pay the increased rent of land that the services result in. I just wanted to know if either of your guests had any thoughts on that matter.
Before you go, Wendell, how would that mechanism work?
It would be a change of the property tax to shift property taxes off of improvements on land value. Or tax land value only to pay for water services or roads or you name it.
All right, we're getting a little cell fade there, but I think we get the general idea. Mark Jockers, you want to take that one on?
Yeah, sure. I mean, certainly I think that's an interesting question here in Washington County, Oregon, because we see such rapid growth. There's lots of development here. What we see is the charges, for instance, to install the system, that is installed by the builder developer, and they are required to build the system and then dedicate it to the public. And then they also have to pay something called a system development charge, which is basically a hookup charge that buys the capacity in the system. So the developer of the property that would end up getting that service is who pays for much of that expansion of the new part of the system. Our issue in terms of fees is it's no different than cable or television or your phone or gas or electric. We provide a service, so you purchase water from us or you ask us to take wastewater away from your home, and we charge you based on how much you use. So we really want to charge the user. It certainly does increase land values, that's true, but you're the person who's choosing, taking this service or having this being served by this. So that's who we have the relationship with in terms of who's billed.
All right, another call here from Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about water infrastructure.
Well, this is another fascinating conversation. Thank you, Jeffrey. The idea of getting people to understand systems is part of my science education hat, and I'm really intrigued by that, both because I think there is an underappreciation for systems in general of all kinds, transport, water, electricity, et cetera, but also because we need professionals. We need young people who aspire to become those kinds of people who are answering those complicated questions of riparian investments versus chillers and all of that. So how do we get people excited about learning about water systems?
Yeah, that's a good question. Aren't you want to take that one on, George?
Sure. We're actually finding a huge influx of young people into our industry here at DC Water, and I'm sure the same is true of Clean Water Services. What we're finding with the younger generation is what they really want to engage on is something that's meaningful and matters. And when you work in the water field, delivering clean water to every home and every new child and everyone who you serve, and then taking it back and cleaning it before you put it back into our rivers, and doing all these projects, we're about to launch tomorrow a $500 million project to turn into the largest green energy plant in the Mid-Atlantic. All of our biosolids and sludge will be energy, a program similar to Clean Water Services. It's exciting. And it's, you can measurably and distinctly improve what's happening around us. And the technology changes that are allowing us to do our work in so many different ways, using sensors, using all sorts of diagnostic tools to find out where the problems are, to do our work cheaper, which of course our customers want, is also something that this younger generation is very attuned to. So at least for DC Water, as we have lifted our head up to tell the story of why it matters, we've also found that young people become very interested in what we're doing because it's so clearly connects to something that's meaningful and that matters, and that in this day and age, the technology and modernization is something that's exciting.
I've got a late email from Wolfgang. I'm sorry I'm not going to get a chance to read it here, but I want to thank our guests for joining us to talk about water and sewer infrastructure and the need for upgrades and updates to those situations. George Hawkins is the CEO and General Manager of DC Water, the District of Columbia Water and Sewer Authority. Mark Jockers is in Washington County at Clean Water Services, where he's the Government and Public Affairs Manager. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
You bet.